comfort from the word of God upon the death of your mother, your grandmother, your sister, and our friend, Grace Vink. She passed away quietly on April the 23rd, 2023, in the presence of her family and entered into the presence of the Lord. She was born on December the 25th, 1931. It made it easy to remember her birthday, as she was born on Christmas Day. And she reached the high age of 91 years of age in relatively good health through the years she had, although she had some ups and downs through the last several years, as you know. But we are thankful for the Lord's mercies to her over the years. Let us be comforted from the Word of God today. When the Lord Jesus told his disciples that he was going to depart and leave them, they were disturbed and upset, and that they would be parted from their Savior. And he gives them these words of comfort in John chapter 14, when he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And that's a truth that your loved one knew so well, that Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through our Lord Jesus." And the Apostle John is also given a vision in Revelation, in Revelation 21, and where he speaks of the new heavens and the new earth, which shall be after Jesus returns from heaven. And what a comfort these words are when we struggle along in this pilgrim life and our lives are filled with troubles and sorrows. And John says, "When I saw a new heaven, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There will be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.' Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said to me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of life, water of life, freely to him who thirsts.'" It's even hard for us to imagine such a place where there is no more tears, no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. And all these things have passed away. And that, of course, speaks of eternity. And then perhaps the most well-known psalm and perhaps the most well-known passage in the Bible is Psalm 23. It gives us abiding comfort in days not only like today, but every day of our lives. It speaks of the Lord as our shepherd, and David is foreshadowing the great shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. And he even speaks of the comfort we can have when traveling through the valley of the shadow of death. And he could speak this way because the Lord Jesus, of course, conquered death by his resurrection. And David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And perhaps the most precious word of that psalm is its last word, where David says that he will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And of course, that speaks of abiding in the presence of the Lord through Jesus Christ, and we'll be in his presence forever through faith in him. Let us sing together, as in your program, "Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness." Congregation, we read together the psalm that the family has chosen, Psalm 46, and our text for the message will be verses 3 and 4. But let us read the psalm together, as is in your program. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Come behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Let us sing together a suitable hymn following this psalm. How great thou art. How great thou art.
Thank you.
Let us come before the Lord in prayer. O Lord, our God and our Father, we come into your holy presence in this morning hour, a day of sorrow, but also a day of joy. A day of sorrow as we reflect upon the fact that our dear loved one, our mother, our grandmother, our great-grandmother, our sister, and our friend has departed from this life and has gone to be with you in eternity. And we recognize, O Lord, that this gives us grief, and we grieve on account of our loss. But we know it is also a day of joy. It is a day of joy for our loved one, for her desires have been fully and completely fulfilled. And she has been able to enter into your eternal presence. You have taken her to yourself, for she was one of yours. And as we meet here together today, and as we have already sung to the praise of your name, as we've heard from your word, we already recognize and acknowledge those rich promises that you grant to us through faith in Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ shall never die. And though we experience death in the sense that we have to cross over the Jordan River of death into the promised land, yet we know that death has lost its sting through Jesus Christ, who has gained the victory by his resurrection from the dead. And so we may also rejoice this day, knowing that the battle is over for our dear loved one, and that she is now with you in eternity. Lord, what a comfort this brings to us, what peace to our souls. We're thankful for her life, for her testimony to us, for her constant faithfulness, for her repeated expressions of her hope and her trust in Jesus Christ, of her devotion to you, of a heart that loved you and served you, was sensitive to the gospel, and loved the Lord Jesus. Lord, we're thankful for her testimony to us and for the years that you've given to her for us as well. We pray that you'll bless us in this service too. We ask that you particularly grant comfort to the family members, to the children, Marianne and Henry and Ed and the grandchildren and the other family and friends here. We pray, Lord, that we would experience that comfort which surpasses all understanding, that we would know the comfort of the gospel that is to be found in Jesus Christ. And Lord, bless your word to us also as we reflect upon it for a few moments, and be with us, O Lord, in all the activities of this day, that it would be such a day that we would recognize your good gifts to us, and we would trust in Jesus Christ, our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. Dear family, Marianne and Henry and Ed, grandchildren, family and friends, it was just over 11 years ago that we were at this very same place for the funeral of your dad and your grandfather. And I suspect that many of you were there at that time. On that occasion, we reflected on another psalm, on Psalm 121, which describes a pilgrim's journey through this life here below. And in many ways, Psalm 46 is similar to Psalm 121 in the sense that it speaks of God's abiding presence with us in the midst of life's troubles and its trials. Your dear mother and your grandmother, and she was a dear lady, had this calm, you might say, reflective trust in the Lord that rarely wavered. She was confident of the Lord's abiding presence with her in life, and even though her life was not without its challenges, she could testify of the Lord's nearness to her. No matter where she was or what she was experiencing, she would freely speak of the Lord. And when you read the Bible to her, she would always ask this question almost every time. She would say, "Where was that passage again?" And I know why she did it. Because she did it so that when later she was alone, she would read it again. And she would reflect on it again. And she would try to gain some further understanding of it as in her own personal reflection. And so she lived her life in intimacy in with the Lord. Just the day before she passed away, I visited her and I read the last part of Romans 8 with her. And that reads, "If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Who shall separate us from the love of God or the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And while she at that time expressed her hope and desire to still return to her home, we did talk about death. And this passage reminded her that not even death would separate her from the love of God, which was in Christ Jesus. And in response, she said, "Where are those verses in Romans 8? And well, she never had the opportunity to read it here again, I trust. But she knows the reality of the promise now, doesn't she? She clung to God's promise as her only comfort in life and now in death. Her only comfort was belonging to her faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood has fully paid for all of her sins. And she knew and lived in light of the reality that God would preserve her in such a way that without the will of her Heavenly Father, not a hair would fall from her head. And she readily confessed that all things work together for her salvation. And knowing of eternal life, she heartily and willingly lived for the Lord. Now, in this funeral service, the family asked me to reflect for a few minutes on Psalm 46, 4 and 5, which reads, "There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn." And in many ways, Psalm 46 describes the quiet, still confidence which was the characteristic of your mom. This psalm was a favorite of Martin Luther, who said, "We sing this psalm to the praise of God because God is with us and powerfully and miraculously preserves and defends his church and his word against all fanatical spirits, against the gates of hell, against the relentless hatred of the devil, and against all the assaults of the world, the flesh, and sin." And so this comfort is to those who are resting in the God of Psalm 46. And it most certainly has always been this psalm a very personal comfort to those who face tragedy and challenges in their life. We can confidently trust in God's care over us no matter what may befall us in our personal lives. No matter what God may direct in our lives, we know that he is yet God. And we can be still, as it says later in this psalm, be still and know that he is God. Trials and troubles shouldn't surprise us in life, not even death should surprise us, because observation of life will tell us that we all have troubles. Unless the Lord returns, we also will all face death. That is certain. But we need not fear when the Lord is our refuge, as the psalmist says, because the mountains may be falling and the earth may be reeling. In such a way, it is a profound comfort to know that all things seem to, even if all things are shaken, that God is never shaken. Just this past week, my wife and I had the privilege of going down to the Oregon coast, and you stand there on the beaches and you see these signs that you're in a tsunami area. And it made us think, what would we do if a tsunami came? And you look over that vast ocean, and you think of the wave that could come, and that just simply could devastate everything in its wake. And you stand there and you watch the tide go out and you think, is that something, the foreshadowing of a tsunami coming in? It's interesting to think about. And this is what the psalmist is speaking of here. Even though the earth may be reeling and the waves may overflow us and they may come again and again and torment us, yet we know that in spite of all those challenges, that God is ever present with us. And that's really what this verse talks about as well, doesn't it? It talks about that gospel peace amid all of the chaos of this earth. It makes a very dramatic statement about the peace which comes from God's presence and which was reflected also in your mom and your grandmother's life, wasn't it? There's a river whose stream make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. And then the psalmist says, why we have peace? Because God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. So God's holy presence is like, not like a tsunami, but it's like a refreshing river of water flowing through the city. Regardless of the circumstances or the dangers that are present in this world, we can find ourselves clinging to the Lord. And though, as Luther said, this world with devils be filled, and it should threaten to undo us, nevertheless, there's a river, the streams of which make God's church glad, or God's people glad. And we can trace that river through the history of the church. There is this refreshing stream of God's mercy and His grace, cleansing sinners. And this is the river that makes glad the city of God. That God dwells among His people, that His name is proclaimed, that Jesus Christ is made known. God is in the midst of her. He shall not be moved, it says. And so this psalm repeatedly speaks of God's abiding presence. He says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. He repeats that repeatedly in this psalm. And when we look into the New Testament, we realize exactly what that means. What does it mean that God is with us? Well, in the New Testament, we know that it's summarized in the name Emmanuel. The name Emmanuel is a name that's given to our Lord Jesus Christ, that He is God with us. You see, He came from heaven. He came from heaven, not sent by angels, but sent by His Father, and He came to be with us. And He entered into our world, even though He was the one who had created the heavens and the earth. And even though He had never sinned, He endured all the hardships and the troubles that come with living in this fallen world. The Lord Jesus was the one who suffered and who died so that we could be taken up to be with Him. You see, the Lord knew that that was the only way in which we could experience His blessing, was to send His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God comes down from earth in Christ, not in judgment, but in His mercy and in His grace and in His love, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. He didn't come as the judge of the heaven and earth, but He came in His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in the New Testament sense, we realize what this means. That God blesses His people through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the Bible's last chapter, it speaks of this river flowing through the heavenly city. Listen to how it speaks of it in Revelation 22. It says, in the middle of its street, speaking of the New Jerusalem, and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, and each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And so the gospel is proclaimed, and it comes, and it provides this peace which surpasses all understanding. And it speaks of the life which is to come, doesn't it? The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. How can we make such a statement? How can we do so? If we think of God, who God is, that He is holy and righteous, we realize that we are so small, don't we? We are small in comparison just with the vastness of the earth. And we are small, and even more so in comparison to the vastness of the universe. And then when we think of who the Lord is, that He in eternity dwelt in the heavens, that we are so small in relationship to Him, for He is greater than the heavens and the earth. And when we think of this, then we realize how small we are. And we think of how needy we are as well. You see, because in order for us to follow our dear loved one into eternity, we are ones who also need to make this confession that God is not only our refuge, but God is my refuge, the one to whom we flee and trust. And we see that this is the way the Lord intends to draw His people unto Himself. That He wants us to come in faith to the Lord Jesus, repenting of our sin which we have committed in transgressing God's commandments. We need the Savior. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can see how graciously God invites us in the end of the psalm. because it speaks of the God of Jacob is our refuge. Well, if you know something about the life of Jacob, you know that Jacob was one of the patriarchs we talk about, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And who was this man? He was a schemer. He was a liar. He was a deceiver. And in many ways, you can say that he was the least of the three patriarchs. It took him a lifetime to learn to trust in the Lord. And it was when God came down to him and fought with him and humbled him that then he began to see his need of the Lord. And so the psalmist uses Jacob's name in this psalm to speak to us of the fact that God can even draw us, those types of people, to him. Those ones who are steeped in sin and rebellion against him. And so we're called to flee to him. You see, Martin Luther realized his need of God's protection. And he saw this great storm coming, this tsunami coming. The tsunami which was going to overwhelm him. And that tsunami was the tsunami of God's judgment because of sin. God's wrath is something which we will face if we have never repented and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your loved one knew that. And she trusted in the Savior because she knew that was the only place of safety. It was the only place of refuge. It was the only place of forgiveness. It was the only place of cleansing. And she knew that apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, there was a tsunami of God's judgment which would come and which would consume her. She realized this. And she would speak of the fact that her only hope was in Jesus. She would say it so plainly. She didn't fear the judgment because she knew the Savior. But she also knew that apart from the Savior, she was under the judgment of God. And so it reminds us, doesn't it, reminds us all that we too are called by the Lord to not to follow in the footsteps of our loved one per se, but to follow the Lord Jesus, to turn to him in repentance and faith, because there is the only place of safety. It's the only place of safety. Can you imagine standing on the shore of the coast of Oregon on one of those lower beaches and a tsunami coming and you see the signs? There are signs all over the place. Evacuation route this way. And when you went on that evacuation route, where did it go? It went uphill, of course, away from the shore, and it went to a place of safety. What would you think of someone who looked at those signs? The tsunami, I'm assuming they have alarms of some sort, and let's say the alarms are ringing, and they consider these, look at this sign, and they say, I'm not going to follow that sign. I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to do it my own way. I'm going to turn the other way. I'm going to go, instead of going uphill, I'm going to go downhill. Instead of going to that place of safety which those signs point to, I'm going to go to this place where I think is better. Well, you say, that's foolish. Well, in an even greater sense, you might say the alarm bells are ringing today. There's only one place of refuge, and that's in Jesus Christ, our only Savior. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help from trouble. Amen. At this time, we're going to have a family address. There's several from the family that are going to speak, and they will do so from the front here. And then immediately after the family address, we will sing the song, Amazing Grace. And then I will have a prayer. So let us first have the family come to the front and give an address. I will give them this microphone.
Dear Grandma, thank you for always loving me just the way I am. You never tried to change me, and you accepted the way I am. I'll never forget all the memories we have shared. They are valuable treasures to be declared. I always looked up to you and have held you in high esteem. Because of you and your example, I am a better me. Grandma, you'll always be a part of me, and I will never forget the time you spent nor the life lessons that you so graciously cemented into me. I can only hope to be as good of a grandma as thee. Grandma, 91 years ago, you were born to a family who loved you deeply in a land far away. It shaped you and nurtured you into the woman you are today. Growing up with family, friends, bikes and tulips, and the tragedies of war, you made the decision to leave and begin a new life in the land of the free. Across the raging seas, onwards to Halifax, and then a train ride all the way to BC, indeed. You became a beloved wife, a mother, a grandma, and a great-grandma too, experiencing all the fears, joys, and uncertainties that women often do. You were private and quiet, except when it came to your family. Then your smile became brighter, and there was a spring in your step. You were living out your destiny with such intensity, creating lasting impressions in us all. May Jesus take your hand and walk you through his gardens. You are home now in eternity. You fought the good fight. You never gave up. You finished the race beautifully. I will not say goodbye because I know I'll see you again, and we will walk among the gardens together, hand in hand. Petunias, begonias, dusty millers, and red geraniums too. We will reminisce about the past and the dear memories true. Whenever life gets hard and the sorrows set in, I'll think of sweet grandma and all the joy that you poured in.
Dear Mom, our beautiful lady inside and out, everyone adored her beautiful smile and caring heart. Creature was Mom's Christian name. However, Grace was easier to say in Canada, and she did walk with Grace. Mom was born in New Lekkerland, Holland, this area well known for its windmills. She had five brothers and a sister. Her father, Tonus, was a finishing carpenter on an ocean liner's, well known for his precision and detail. That would explain Mom's own organizational skills, including the clothes in her drawers, which were folded perfectly. Her penmanship was also very precise. For all Mom's life, she was a very devoted Christian and never wavered from her faith. She read devotions every day. Sunday was the Lord's Day, and she never swayed. Her mother, Anna Baverloo, was a dedicated woman, committed to her family, and worked hard to keep everyone fed and clothed. World War II affected Holland and certainly changed the growing up years to be very apprehensive. Near the end of the war, food was scarce. Mom said that later on, oatmeal became their favorite dessert with maybe some fruit if they were lucky. Mom worked very hard all her life. She made extra money house cleaning for a small clientele, then at home helped look after her younger brothers. Mom grew up tall and slim and beautiful, and that's when she met Ari Vink. They were attracted to each other, even taking her on rides in horses and buggies. There came a change after the war, and a lot of Dutch citizens heard about Canada. The Vink family were also ready for a change. They organized the journey for themselves, and the family took the adventure of a lifetime, heading to the east coast of Canada on an ocean liner and the long distance to the west coast by train. Ari Vink was part of the family that embarked on that epic journey of the adventures and the unknown, beautiful Canada. So Ari organized Creature would follow behind him after a year and placed them and found a place for them to live. A year later, and it was time to leave. Dear Mom was by herself on the high seas. Just in at that time, the North Sea showed her vengeance and had a devastating storm with high waters and catastrophic flood causing a lot of damage to Holland. Then came Canada. She was familiar with the flat land while crossing the prairies and was feeling quite comfortable with the sights. And then she reached the Rocky Mountains. Wow, thought Mom, she felt claustrophobic. On February 18th, Creech and Airy were married in a simple ceremony and moved to Matsqui, B.C. Mom and Dad had four children. Mary and Larry were born in Matsqui, and Henry and Ed were born in Abbotsford. By this time, all the brothers and one sister were married with their own families. We had family Christmas dinners with all the trimmings. There was many cousins to play with, turkey dinner, and Mom was well known for her turkey soup. It was delicious. Around 1958, we lived on Dallaire Road in Abbotsford. Henry and Ed were born there, and we watched the Trans-Canada Highway being built right in front of our house. And the boys liked that with the big equipment going by. Now it was time for us to gradually go to school. Mom was driving by then, and we owned a 57 Chevy. And one snowy day, Mom loaded us into the Chevy. Off to the Abbotsford Christian School we drove. And this turn off to the school loomed ahead, and Mother slid right past it. And we turned around near Matsqui, and as she turned around, there was a car with his passenger door wide open parked on the side of the road, and she just clipped that door right off. I was horrified. Mom drove straight home, no school, no mention of this to anyone. We got the day off. Poor Mom. Mother was quite often homesick for Holland, and she finally made her journey back in an airplane called the Flying Tiger. And she was so happy. I had my 7th birthday. Larry was 5, and Henry was only 2, and he was chosen to go to Holland with Mom. Her holiday was a blessing to see all of her family, and then came time to come home. The Flying Tiger got lost in the Yukon for at least a day. We were so worried. Finally, it was reported, found and flying back to Vancouver. Mother loved to sew clothes. She loved to garden. Her favorite thing were to grow flowers. She was busy in the summer, canning like most families. Her happiest times were when her family started visiting from Holland, Opa Marcus Stein being a frequent flyer, and he helped me brush up with my Dutch. He was patient, and by this time, we lived on a farm in Greendale. Opa loved the farm life. Then I experienced how meticulous he was in everything he did, and my youngest brother really bonded with Opa Marcus Stein. They were a lot alike. Farming in Agassiz was our next destination, also a very beautiful area. I didn't live there long. I got married and moved to the Chilliwack River Valley. Larry also married Bev, and then came the grandchildren. Larry and Bev welcomed Dana, and a year later, Trevor. And Kurt was born shortly after. They were 6 weeks apart, just like brothers. So Mother's grandchildren grew in number with the next ones. Gina and Aaron are my girls. Henry and his wife had Jennifer, Denise, and Blaine. And now there are many great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren too. After Airy retired and Mom and Dad purchased a fifth wheel and traveled through the USA, re-experienced Eastern Canada, they did a lot of fishing at Loon Lake, and with many imaginative... Mom enjoyed, while they were camping, her plastic canvas and vases and coasters. The last leg of their journey was moving into an apartment in Chilliwack, a life change for sure, no longer on farmland. And that's when my father took ill with cancer and passed away in February 19th, 2012. Another devastating loss was when my brother Larry, also taken away by cancer. Mom feels that loss every day. This was a life changer for my mom. She had never been alone before and took her new circumstances uneasily. Our family, we had a solution, and we searched out an independent seniors home in Agassiz. Her apartment was right in front of Mount Chiam, the very mountain she was unsure of. About now stood there in front of her. The Chiam village in Agassiz was her home for 12 years. She found much joy in the welcoming atmosphere of her new home. Mom lived independently and had the convenience of no cooking and many new friends. She began her knitting. Mom was well known for her slippers. Thank you, everybody, for coming. Thank you for your prayers. And thank you for visiting her in the hospital and all your help. Thank you.
Good morning. Thanks. So I'm now older than my brother Larry was when he died, but he'll always be my big brother. In the same way, my mother will always be my mother, someone I could turn to for her strength and support, even today. I think it's safe to say that everyone that knew my mom loved her. I had not really thought about that until going through this last week. And I suppose everyone had their own reasons, but I expect a common thread was that she was very present and attentive. A good person, true to her faith, she was reliable, loving, steadfast, and beautiful. Mom was born, as we heard, on Christmas Day. Not an easy childhood. Came to Canada, and it was not always easy. She missed her family back in Holland, and her father especially, Opa. Even though at that time she thought that she probably would never see him again when she left, technology's changed, and he made multiple trips to Canada, frequent flyer. She loved those visits. I loved those visits too. Even though we could not speak a common language, like my sister could, we connected on a deep level, and Mom helped with a lot of translations. So Mom raised four children and helped as much as she could with raising multiple grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and great-great-grandchildren. Family and her faith were the most important parts of her life. She did not waver. Mom was always there for me. Even though she could not help me with most of my homework past grade school, she did help both of us in one area that I struggled, spelling. I gave her my weekly lists, and she tried to pronounce them one at a time, usually well enough for me to get the idea, and I would struggle trying to work out the spelling, and we both increased our vocabulary. An after-school ritual was snacking on precisely two homemade chocolate chip cookies with a glass of Farm Fresh raw milk. And there was an endless supply of both. When I knew I wanted to go to university but did not know what to study, she drove me to Vancouver every day for a week so that I could take some extensive amount of vocational training. Apparently, I should have been an orthodontist or an audiologist. However, Mom and Opa knew that I would become an engineer, and that I would eventually discover that on my own, probably from my endless five levels deep of why questions. Mom loved to knit, everything from endless slippers to toques for newborn babies to colorful dolls for kids in Africa. She wanted to knit me a sweater too, but I declined, convincing her instead to work on a huge needlepoint project of wild horses that we would complete together. Well, I put in about 20 hours into the project compared to her hundreds. That was Mom. We both loved the finished piece, and it was a treasured belonging that we have traded back and forth in both of our homes for years. It's safe to say that I did not have a worry in the world. My mom had them all. She worried that we had enough to eat, enough sleep, too much sleep, not enough work, or that we were working too hard. Apparently, there's a fine line in life to be followed. Mom has been the most influential person in my life. We gave each other support and unconditional love. Thank you.
Hi. So when I talked to Ed throughout the week, he said that there was going to be an open mic, and I said that, so there was going to be an open mic, and that if there was anybody that had anything to say, that they could just say it now. So I said, well, I'm sure my mom would like to say something, but she would never get up here, so I'm reading for my mom, Betty. Attentive Betty. Here's just a few words I would like to share with you all in loving memory of my dear sister-in-law and loving friend, Ray. It's been over 68 years since we became not only family, but forever friends as well. We spent many times visiting together with our families, special picnics, fun times at Cultus Lake, birthday parties for all of our kids, wonderful Vink family Christmas dinners. When we would celebrate her and my birthday, which is also December 25th, the great adult birthday parties where we had lots of laughs, and I could go on and on about the many wonderful and special times we all had together when our families were younger. But after all, our kids and grandkids were grown up. We shared an even closer friendship. We didn't get together as often as we would like, but when we did, we had the best visits ever. We would talk about the wonderful memories in the past. We shared our ups and downs in life and always knew that anything we shared would stay between the two of us. We also shared our special latest family pictures, etc., and had often laughed and joked about how perfect she always folded her wash. I guess that was a thing, right? The girls, mom and us girls, would always joke that she probably used a tape measure to make sure that everything was folded just perfect. Cray also made the best soup ever, and she was a great cook. She was an amazing and loving wife to Ari, mom to her children, sister-in-law to all of us in-laws, and special Tana Cray to all of our kids, and a faithful friend to many others. We are all going to miss her more than any of you will ever know. We thank God for all the precious memories that we keep her, that will keep her alive in our hearts forever. Until we meet again, my wonderful sister, I love you, and I know we all love you. Thank you. And Ed has asked me to just let you know that it's an open mic, so if anybody else would like to come up and have something to say, please feel free to come.
Is there anyone else? Okay, let us sing then from Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Let us pray. Merciful and gracious God and Father, we come to you at the ending of this service here, and we are thankful to you for your word to us, which gives comfort. We're thankful, Lord, for the memories that have been spoken and how we could hear of the loving care and graciousness of our dear loved one. We're thankful for her life and for her testimony to us. We pray that you be with us, O Lord, as we continue with this day. Bless the food and the drink which has been prepared for us. Give us strength by it also as we make our way to the cemetery a few minutes later. And we pray that you be with us as we stand before the open grave. There we would have comfort in the resurrection, the comfort that Jesus Christ has risen again from the dead. And when he returns, that all those who have fallen asleep in Jesus shall be raised to newness of life. Lord, we pray that you will continue to be with us today and bless us. Give us safe travels to Agassiz and our return as well. Lord, we ask all these things in the forgiveness of our sins, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We will, at this moment, we will sing the doxology, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." And immediately after the doxology, we will ask the pallbearers to come forward, and they will come forward, and the casket will be loaded into the hearse, and then we will have our luncheon, and we will leave for the cemetery, hopefully by about 12:45, so about 45 minutes from now, we hope to leave, because it's scheduled for 1:30, and it'll take us about 45 minutes to get there. So if you don't know where the directions, you can probably, the address is in the program, actually. So you can use that if you get lost or you get disconnected from the group. And so this time, let us stand and let us sing together, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." And then we will have the pallbearers come forward and we will exit the sanctuary.